AM 1420 and FM 103.1. We were talking with Regina Lopez White Skunk, a board member of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. And we're going to talk a little bit about something that's been going on, as I remember, for a long time. And that's trying to get get expanded protection for the Bear's Ears National Monument in Utah. And Regina, can you tell us about the Bear's Ears National Monument and why it's so important?
Yes, the Bear's Ears National Monument is located in southeastern Utah, and currently it is 1.36 million acres as it was redesignated by President Biden a few weeks ago. This landscape has been long time tied to many of the indigenous people. But the Bear's Ears Intertribal Coalition, which I had the honor of sitting on as one of their former co-chairs, included voices from the Hopi, the Diné or the Navajo Nation, the Pueblo of Zuni, the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe, and the Ute Indian Tribe of Utah. And so a lot of what we were seeking was protection and continued access to be able to access these places, to harvest herbs and to just visit in pilgrimage. These are areas that are still very much alive to many of us. So each time we visit them, we breathe life into this landscape, and it returns it back through the many lessons that we're taught and the honor and privilege to be able to partake of the herbs and some of the plants and the animals in that area. How do we know this? Because of the stories that are left on the canyon walls. The petroglyphs and the rock art tell those stories. So it is very, very important to many of us.
So why has it taken so long for this to happen? Because I know the Native Americans, since I can't say indigenous very well, you've been working on this a long time, and what happened to the people in that area? You all were moved off of the area?
Yes. So originally, you know, when time really, in lieu of how we look at time, we usually go back to our origin stories. So it may be either we migrated through there, we have just moved around through these different areas, or, you know, there's been origin stories of where people have been able to move up through the world, and these are those similar and close locations to where that may have transpired. So while we were out here during the time of the European encountering us, you know, we were just kind of herded into different locations, and each time we were just kind of told to be within a certain proximity. And then eventually when the federal government, the United States, came in and began to relocate and position tribes on reservations, we were moved to smaller amounts of land that had minimal resources for us to use. And so we've been displaced from these areas for many, many generations. But prior to that, we all moved in accordance to season and resource availability, and just kind of coexisted out here. And maybe just because you didn't encounter us when you first came out here didn't mean we weren't here. Maybe it was a season we weren't there because maybe the herbs or the resources that we generally use weren't available yet. But yeah, we've been all displaced into various locations.
One of the things that I think is important that your people can provide this generation of the rest of us is the way you treat land, the way you react to plants and animals in particular. I think an important part of making the whole country better is to listen to y'all, as we say in the South.
Yes, so I recall many times our grandparents and elders had many teachings about how we lived in unison with all that around us. We had guiding life principles, like when we would harvest, we wouldn't over harvest, but would rather take only what we needed. And always keep in mind that there's going to be somebody or something that comes behind you, whether that's an animal, whether that's some elements, whether that's other people, someone's going to be behind you. And even the next generations behind you, that you always want to ensure that what we have the honor and privilege of partaking, that the next generation and other animals and plants may also have that same privilege.
What a, and I'll tell you that's something that I thoroughly believe in. And I think it's the reason that national parks were created, was to preserve all of this for the next generation. And it seems like in the last several decades, we've gotten away from that. It's plunder. Well, and of course it went on a lot longer before. I mean, look what happened to the buffalo. And
yeah,
they got absolutely slaughtered. And that never would have happened if the Indians had, or the Native Americans had been left in charge of the whole thing, because I understand that you didn't kill a buffalo just to be killing buffalo or to get a hide out of it. It was, everything was taken. You took as little as could be and used the whole buffalo. Because I guess you understood that the buffalo had a spirit. And,
yes.
So what do you hope happens next? The president has made a proclamation, I guess. President Biden has released plans to protect 30% of the nation's lands by 2030. But what more do we need done in Washington for the Bears Ears? I got that right.
Well,
Bears Ears National Monument.
Yes.
We can act.
So within the work of what the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance has done, we've supported and are looking to continue to garner support for the American Red Rock Wilderness Act, which is setting out to protect 8.4 million acres, nearly 9 million acres, to be managed by BLM and other agencies within that landscape. And this is all in lieu of trying to ensure something that cannot be undone by a president, to make things a little more permanent. And it'll also protect some various locations such as the Book Cliffs, Escalante Canyon, and many other locations. So you had to understand the landscape out in southeastern Utah, basically the Colorado Plateau. And if we took away the state lines, this would make things so much easier as we begin to understand land does not have those separations. Water does not have those separations. Just because there's a line that goes right down it doesn't mean that only this water is this way and this water is that way, or air or anything to that magnitude. You get to understand landscape as a whole. And so when we start to think about how do we affect these areas, really what we do to protect and how we set forth in action really is going to play out to locations that are very close. I know with the 30 by 30 and some of the climate crisis out here in the Southwest where I live, I'm just directly next to Utah, but a few minutes northeasterly, I could be in the mountains where we begin to see a lot more of the skiing and winter-like activities. That's hugely impacted by some of the global warming, and a lot of that is the snowpack. The snowpack is not staying as long. These are changes mm-hmm. that are impacting not only the use of the land, but really how the land is nurtured by those, by the snow, and how that snowpack melts, how quickly, or how much is out in these areas. And so, you know, we all see those impacts. So, you know, thinking about what this really truly starts to scratch the surface on and what we needed to do, or what we have long time needed to do, is really starting to bring these things to the forefront and allowing people to learn. This is a great opportunity for us to help each other learn and understand connections to land and how the land is used and who is out there using the land. The many uses of the land are very diverse, and how we ensure that these will be available for the next generations to come down the road. We definitely want to be able to say with confidence that our great-grandchildren or many generations down the road are going to be able to visit these places and get to see where the ancestral Puebloan structures were located, to see the writings on the wall, to experience this hugely honorable and spiritual location. This is some place that really, when you put your feet on the ground, you can feel the presence. You can feel how nature is operating around you. This is something that many people have realized and understood, and we'd like for others to understand this. So with Ara, it has been introduced in both houses at this point. It probably won't go through any of the hearings this Congress, so we're hoping the next Congress that they'll be at the point of having and conducting the hearings. So, you know, what we're really taking this time for is to help educate people and better understand what this landscape is about and how we can try to work on this together.
It's an important thing you're doing. I was fortunate when I was in high school to spend a great deal of time in the summer out in that area, Utah and Colorado and up to Wyoming, and just gained a much bigger sense of what it really was all about. It must have really, it certainly troubled me to look what was happening out in California with all those fires. If we're not cognizant and realize how important wilderness area is, we can let terrible things happen. It's very, very important. What can people do to get the proper action to be held by Congress as far as passing America's Red Rock Wilderness Act?
What I encourage people to do is to arm themselves with education, with knowledge. Mm-hmm. Visit a couple of websites, do additional research. You can go to the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance website to read more about the work that we're doing out here. And also gaining a better understanding of the Bears Ears landscape, you can go to the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition's website as well and read up a little bit about the journey and some of the attacks that the group used to help maneuver that conversation and really achieve something that was truly historical, which was five tribes coming together and trying to use the sense of healing as a focal point, healing their own relationships between one another, and then healing the fact that we do need to work with the federal government and how can we move forward with that if we don't begin to start that journey of healing our relationships with other governments, local governments in and around that area, and really try to work together rather than in our own individual silos. And so I just encourage people to also reach out to your elected officials, no matter where you're at, because at one point, this is actually going to be at their fingertips of voting a yay or a nay, and I would prefer and have confidence in my elected officials to be casting an educated vote rather than shooting from the hip.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you're doing in educating people is going to make all of us realize what a wonderful land we have in this area. And the land doesn't belong to us. We have to pass it on. We're not going to take it with us when we leave, are we?
Right. Right.
So it just really is wonderful. Thank you very, very much for being with us here at Good Neighbor Radio, and I really applaud what you're doing. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, and it was my honor to be with you this morning.
Have a wonderful day.
You
AM 1420 WAMV, we've been talking to Regina Lopez White Skunk, who began to advocate for land, air, water, and animals at a very early age, as a matter of fact, and she strongly believes that the inner core of healing comes from the knowledge of our land and elders. Former co-chair for the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition and education director for the Ute Indian Museum in Montrose.